are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. And ladies and gentlemen, it's here. Real live basketball. Preseason, of course. Not actually real basketball, but at least it'll be an actual game with real opponents and uniforms and officials and the whole thing. But still just preseason. The Timberwolves will tip off on Tuesday night against the Suns in Phoenix at Talking Stick Resort Arena. The game, I believe, is at 8 o'clock Central Time. Of course, it's not on TV and somehow also not on radio, so Wolves fans will have to follow along on the Twitter machine or your preferred social media channel to kind of get an idea of what's happening in real time. And then, of course, we'll have the box score to analyze afterwards. So we will be doing a quick hitter post-game podcast after Tuesday's game to at least dissect the box score and what we've been able to glean from the game based on social media and what we can take from that moving forward into the next preseason game, which is actually only 48 hours later against Golden State on Thursday. So Tuesday night in Phoenix, Wolves Suns. So today we're actually going to do a quick preview, just a quick rundown of what Phoenix is likely to throw out there on the floor. They've had some injury issues. There's a little bit of injury news for the Timberwolves today, that we'll hit on today as well. But today's podcast will mostly be focused on Wolves Suns, that matchup breakdown, what we should be looking for, or I guess expecting, even though we won't be able to see it. None of us will be unless you happen to be in Phoenix and are attending the game, in which case hopefully you're already in Phoenix and you're not traveling there for a preseason basketball game. But I digress. We're going to talk a little bit about that matchup today and some of the final notes coming out of the end of training camp last week and then over the past couple days here as the Wolves wrap up practices before the actual preseason schedule starts. So we're going to get into that here right away, actually. The Phoenix Suns have a few injuries, and it's not entirely clear who's going to start in this game. Mikal Bridges and Kelly Oubre aren't going to play, and it seems unlikely that Aron Baynes will. Just kind of looking around at what various folks who write about the Suns seem to think on the internet, at least. Ricky Rubio is healthy. Devin Booker, obviously the best player in the Suns, or the two of those guys are the team's two best players. And then former Timberwolves Dario Saric will be playing as well. It'll be fun to see DeAndre Ayton, and then potentially Cameron Johnson in the starting lineup as well. So it'll be good to see that group of five. The Suns figure to not be quite as bad this year. As Booker continues to improve, Ayton should be better. Saric is a solid starter, and Ricky Rubio is a big upgrade for them in the desert. So look forward to seeing that five on the floor. Still not sure who starts, who the fourth starter for the Timberwolves will be. We'll get to that conversation here in a second. I guess the other quick injury update we'll do off the top. So already mentioned Bridges, Kelly Oubre, and Aron Baynes likely all out for Phoenix. For the Timberwolves, Jordan Bell is considered day-to-day, and the Timberwolves, it sounds like, are ruling him out of both preseason games this week because of a strained calf that he suffered in practice. So don't expect to see Bell on the floor, which is a little frustrating. Obviously, we don't want to see injuries, but it would be interesting to see how the Wolves plan to use Bell this season. Not that we're going to get that much out of preseason in terms of actual roles, and clearly that changes. Josh Okogie wasn't in the starting rotation or the rotation at all last year for the first couple weeks of the season, for one, and then he ended up being a starter out of necessity for more than half the game. So at any rate, that's one more thing to keep an eye out for here upcoming in the game on Tuesday. Next, we're going to get a little bit into what we can expect to see out of the rotation and some of those matchups. But first, I wanted to mention from our friends at Indochino that Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That's $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter the code Locked On at checkout. So the quick preview on the Suns as we head into Suns-Wolves in the preseason opener on Tuesday is, and I don't want to spoil too much of the upcoming podcast. We still have to do the over-under for that division. However, the Suns are an interesting case. They're almost certainly going to be better than the 19-win version of the Suns that existed last season. However, I don't know that I would say that they had a good offseason just because they got marginally better while not necessarily improving their cap situation and moving on from a number of guys who were recently acquired as high draft picks and expected to do something special, to be contributors at the NBA level. But just this offseason, the Suns moved on from Josh Jackson, Dragan Bender, and Marquese Chris. All three of those guys are gone now. And the Suns, were able to sell hope around each of those big names and high draft picks here in recent years. But now they've just decided to move on and they're going to have to sell hope in a different way. The team, picked up some good players in the offseason. As I said, they're going to be better. They overpaid Ricky Rubio a bit. Rubio was rumored to be a backup option for the Timberwolves this offseason, but if they didn't land D'Angelo Russell, but by the time they had realized that Russell wasn't going to be an option, Rubio had already signed in Phoenix, and probably the 3 years and $51 million that Phoenix paid him is probably more than what the Wolves would have been willing to offer him. They also signed Frank Kaminsky. They obviously acquired Dario Saric from the Timberwolves in the trade that let the Wolves move up to number six. But that's also an example of it's unclear that the Suns know what they're doing. Saric is somebody who certainly still has upside and I think could be a very good NBA player. Already is a solid one. But he's going to be up for an extension and the Suns are going to have to make a decision on if he's the guy they want to pay starter level money to be there for. And they gave up an asset to do it, moving back from 6 to 11 in the first round and taking Cameron Johnson at number 11. All three of those guys, Rubio, Saric, and Johnson, are likely all going to start in this preseason game on Tuesday. Should also mention the Suns have a new head coach in Monty Williams, who hasn't been a head coach in a few years, has most recently been with the Sixers and before that with the Thunder as an assistant, had the family tragedy, the passing of his wife when he was an assistant with the Thunder, took a little bit of time off, and then was involved with the Sixers the last couple of seasons. But we know that Monty Williams is a solid NBA coach. Igor Kokoshkov only got one season to have a shot at coaching the Suns and won 19 games, and that was it, fair or unfair. But Monty Williams will do a good job. This is a team that probably will hover around 30 wins this season after 19 a year ago. They don't have much depth, and they're still painfully young, although giving up assets to acquire guys who are about to come off of rookie deals like Dario Saric is certainly questionable. So at any rate, the starting lineup is solid, and it'll be interesting to see what this matchup looks like. On the Timberwolves side, we're unsure exactly of what the starting lineup will look like. It's fair to assume that Jeff Teague will be the starting point guard, Karl-Anthony Towns will be the starting center, and Andrew Wiggins and Robert Covington will each start as well. More likely than not, Covington is going to be the starting four. Wiggins will start on the wing. And then the question is it Josh Okogie or the rookie Jarrett Culver that will start at the other wing? Perhaps Jake Layman would be another option. And there also is a, school of thought that that the four, Rocco slides the three, Wiggins is at the two, and perhaps the four is somebody like Noah Vonleh, or in the future, perhaps Jordan Bell, who, as mentioned earlier, will not be playing in the preseason games tonight or Tuesday night or Thursday night following a calf strain. So we don't really know who will start, and just because the Timberwolves trot out one starting lineup on Tuesday does not mean at all that that's the starting lineup that they'll be going with on opening night, especially with some injury question marks as well. So that'll be another thing to look out for on Tuesday to see how the two teams match up. Rubio and Jeff Teague themselves have had some interesting battles over the years, and even going back to when Rubio was with the Wolves and Jeff Teague was with the Hawks, the two never really quite seemed to get along much on the court. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, it's the preseason, so it shouldn't matter, but it's always something to keep an eye on. But that's a good matchup, certainly, to see at the point guard spot. You know, right off the bat in terms of positional matchups. Unclear how many minutes, you know, somebody like Rubio or even Teague or the two Kentucky alum in Devin Booker for Phoenix and Karl Anthony Towns for the Wolves, how much any of those guys are going to play. But, you know, certainly we'll get a little bit of run. So that's another something to keep an eye on here in the game on Tuesday. Along with that, the rotations are going to be highly scrutinized. They always are early in the season, but especially with the new permanent head coach in Ryan Saunders. He's talked at times about playing 10 or 11, maybe even 12 guys, depending on how guys are playing. He's big on talking about the rotation is dictated by how well players play. And while that's certainly true to some extent, you know, coaches a lot of times will limit the rotation based on what they believe they have in terms of depth and also a rhythm you know, sticking with the guys who are playing best. Obviously, Tom Thibodeau notoriously would only play 9 guys for the most part, and really only 8 of them would see significant minutes on the floor. And there were times in the past where other Timberwolves coaches have been criticized for playing their best players too little, and Thibodeau kind of swung that back the other way. It would be interesting to see what Saunders does, and that obviously won't be something we keep too much of an eye on in the preseason, as, you know, pretty much nobody should be playing more than 25 minutes, something along those lines, in a first preseason game. But in terms of, you know, who the first player on the floor is off the bench, my hunch is that if Okogie is not in the starting lineup, he is going to be the sixth man of sorts and will be coming onto the court to provide support as an energy guy off the bench. So we'll keep an eye on that. Or if he's in the starting lineup, is it Jarrett Culver, the rookie, who's going to play primarily on the wing but also get some opportunity to initiate the offense, is kind of what we suspect will happen over the course of the season. It could also be Jake Lehman, somebody who can play you know, primarily the 3 and the 4. And then with Jordan Bell out, we'll probably see more of Gorgui Dieng, perhaps more of Noah Vonleh, as the Wolves try and you know, not give Towns too many minutes in the preseason. We also could see more of Jake Lehman at the 4. I would imagine Covington's minutes will be pretty limited since he hasn't played in an actual game since December 31st of last year. So I wouldn't expect him to play all that much in this one. Next up, we're going to move on a little bit from the Suns game specifically and talk a little bit more about some of the revelations from the end of training camp, which also will give us a little bit of a hint of what to look for, or at least what to look at the box score for, in Tuesday's game, to kind of bridge that gap between what happened in training camp and what we can expect to see on the floor. One of the consistent themes of this offseason and of training camp has been the idea that Karl Anthony Towns is going to get the ball a lot more on the perimeter and be handling the ball and be even facilitating in the offense more than he has in the past. He so often caught the ball in the low block, which obviously he's very dangerous down there and one of the best post players in the league. But it also limits the Wolves offense when he's immediately doubled in the post. And in some cases, triple team, the Wolves haven't had enough consistent long range shooters to really make opponents pay. And Towns will certainly still get the ball in the post at times, but it also seems like he'll be touching the ball more on the high post and even on the perimeter, perhaps even handling the ball in the pick and roll, or the Wolves just running even more plays. And they did more of this as the year wore on last year, and even under Tibbs this happened a little bit, but the Wolves running plays to get Towns open to shoot a spot up three-pointer or to have the opportunity to pump fake on a three and drive the ball into the paint, and either facilitate, as he can do even at 7 feet tall, as he's getting into the paint, or take the ball all the way to the rim and finish with his long wingspan and long strides around defenders in the paint. And he also finishes well through contact and is fantastic from the free throw line, as we all know. So there's certainly, you know, tons of advantages to getting Towns the ball more frequently in different positions on the floor. And some of the training camp and preseason practice reporting on, you know, around the Timberwolves blogosphere, that's certainly come through. Kyle Ratke at Timberwolves.com had some quotes from Ryan Saunders about essentially just making sure that Cat's going to be in different positions on the floor, so he has the ability to make plays from different places, and they're not pigeonholing him into a predictable location on the floor, where teams can more easily game plan to double and triple team him. Essentially, the chatter is more around Towns just getting the ball in different spots on the floor instead of getting into too much of a rhythm. I don't think he's going to actually be playing point guard or even be playing a pseudo point forward. I think it's just he's going to touch the ball, on hopefully every Timberwolves possession. And sometimes he's going to be, in most cases, he'll be the first option on a play, but have plenty of options to then facilitate the ball from that point. And Towns, knowing he's going to get that many touches, is going to be that much more willing to continue to be a facilitator as well as attack. There was also, I think we talked about this in one of the more recent Locked On Wolves podcasts. There's been a lot of talk about the cutters in the offense, and adding a guy like Jake Layman, who was extremely successful as a cutter in Portland's offense last season. And then Josh Okogie, who was a decent cutter as a rookie, but has talked a lot about learning from Layman and learning in this Wolves offense on how to cut more frequently. Players like Okogie and Layman, who are very average at best. Layman's a pretty average jump shooter. Okogie isn't even quite that good at this point. And they're both ultra athletic. They're going to be best used as cutters, where they're going to be getting the ball, going to the rim, ready to initiate contact with the defense, draw a foul, and hopefully finish in the paint as well. So expect a lot of cutting from Okogie and Layman, and I wouldn't necessarily expect the two of them to be on the court together a whole lot. I think that that it's tough to have two guys that are 33% and under three-point shooters on the wing together at the same time. Expect them to be paired with a Robert Covington. Jarrett Culver didn't shoot much better than that at Texas Tech, but there's a lot of reason to think that he may be a better shooter as he gets into the NBA when he's in a little bit of a different role. Or perhaps it's, other guys on the team, even Jeff Teague's a better three-point shooter than some of those than Layman or Shabazz Napier. But expect Layman or Okogie to be on the floor at almost all times and to really have a focus on cutting. And while Covington's more of a spot-up shooter than anything else, and he's not going to be dribbling the balls and cutting to the paint in that sense, expect him to cut without the ball a little bit more this year as well. It's something he's successful at doing when he does it. It's just there wasn't as much of that in some of the offenses he's played in. Notably, when he was in Philadelphia, he was mostly a spot-up shooter, but he has the ability to be a cutter and be effective in that way as well. So I think those changes are going to be twofold. It's going to be Towns getting the ball in different spots on the floor, having the chance to facilitate or to score, and then also watching for some of those wing players to cut more often than float on the perimeter or be in a pick and roll. I think obviously the pick and roll is going to still be a huge part of the game, but maybe less so than in Tom Thibodeau's offense. Here with the new personnel grouping that the Wolves have and have surrounded Karl Anthony Towns with. All right. That's all we have for today's episode of Locked On Wolves. We're going to be back following the Wolves Suns preseason game on Tuesday. We'll have some takes on the box score and how it breaks down and what we're able to get out of social media in regards to the hopefully the success of the game. Here's hoping the Wolves come out of it healthy and we have a little bit better of a picture of what this roster could be like for the Timberwolves this year and what Ryan Saunders' rotation is going to look like. So we'll definitely break that down, and then following that, we'll then be previewing Golden State on Thursday. That game's actually on NBA TV. Not sure on what that means blackout-wise in the Twin Cities, but if you're not in the Twin Cities, you can for sure watch Thursday's game against the Warriors on NBA TV. So we'll be looking forward to seeing these new-look Wolves actually in action on TV here later this week. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.